So today we're going to be talking about something that really inspired me. It was an article called "Grace Is Too Small" in 2013 edition of Bible Studying Magazine. And so, just to give credit where credit is due, this sermon is based off of that article. Grace. If you read the bulletin article, if you've had an opportunity yet, or through your email, or even now, I began posting it on the Facebook page. If you had an opportunity, read it. Talked a little bit about grace and this idea of grace and what it truly means. I'm sure you've heard tons of sermons, maybe even had your own Bible studies associated with grace. And oftentimes, this very complex characteristic of God gets simmered down to some very basic meanings. So you might be asking yourself, what is grace exactly? I mean, it's a very important function to our lives as Christians, isn't it? When we say we believe in God, one of the main factors to our belief is the belief that he offers grace and mercy to us. I mean, without it, where would we be? Without his grace, what would we be? We often consider this complex attribute in simplistic euphemisms. I'm sure you've heard the following. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Or maybe you've heard, grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Or another one that I've heard in the past is, grace is the spiritual equivalent of the get out of jail free card. Very simple definitions of an extremely complex idea. You know, whenever I was a teenager, this might be hard for y'all to believe, but I had a lead foot. I'm telling you, that thing was so heavy, and I sped far too often than I'd like to admit. As a matter of fact, one time, I sped way too many times and was, I think, one ticket away from having my ticket revoked. Maybe it was because I had too fast of a car, or maybe it was just because I didn't have a good head about me. But in all those times, I always complained. I said, man, why does everybody else get warnings? Or why does everybody else get let off the hook? And I always get a ticket. I always end up having to go to that Saturday class, that defensive driving class. I could have taught that class whenever I was 17 years old. But I never got let off. According to the definitions we just read, I never received grace from the officer. But is grace that simple? Is grace so simple that a police officer of the law can offer the same thing that God offers us in regards to salvation? Or is it much more than that? Is it much more than what we consider to be grace? I believe, if I remember correctly, one of the girls, it was either Micah or Emma, I think it was Micah, she brought a friend a couple of Sundays ago. And her name was Grace. Meeting her then got my mind jogging about this, because in fact, she knew the meaning of her name. How old is Micah? 10?
Nine.
Nine? Okay. So this 9-year-old little girl, assuming she's about the same age, knew that her name was from the Greek word for grace. How amazing is that? The Greek word being charis. It's the most basic use in the New Testament, our most fundamental aspect of our relationship with God. And as we look at its use in Scripture, we see that at a fundamental level, we understand it to be that which affords joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness, charm, and loveliness. In my short conversation with this little girl, she seemed to be all those things, so I could see why her parents named her that. And oftentimes in our relationship with God, we think of grace and we think of these things that Scripture underlies grace with. And we say, yeah, God, He gives us all those things, doesn't He? The charm, the joy, the pleasure of life, all comes from God. Heaven, as we consider it, affords us those things and so much more. But even still, it doesn't seem to quite describe the overarching definition in Scripture. Because that which I just defined is not its only use. In fact, grace is much more complex in its benefits to our lives in this world and in the next, in our physical being and in our spiritual being. We see that through the New Testament teachings, grace can be summarized in three ideas or concepts. It can be summarized in God's presence, in God's calling, and in God's power. We see that throughout the New Testament, grace is defined by these three things, all very important aspects to our lives. So we'll start with this idea of God's presence. For me, this was the easiest to understand and envision. As Christians, we bow before God's presence every day, don't we? As we talked about on our series on worship, we talked about how worship is to bow down in the presence of God. And He's with us every moment of our lives. But what we often forget is that it is in His presence that we find this grace. If you've got your Bibles this morning, go ahead and turn with me over to Romans. In Romans, we'll be looking at just one verse, in chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. The Apostle Paul explains to the Romans by a simple phrase, as he does to many of the churches that he oversaw and regularly had dialogue with, the importance of grace, and more specifically, in the presence of God. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, he says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into what? This grace in which we stand. And we exult in hope of the glory of God." We stand in the presence of God and thereby stand in His holy grace and mercy. We're not always standing there, are we? In our daily lives, we sometimes step out of that grace in our minds. The other day, Leanne and I had the opportunity to spend the morning together, and we decided we were going to have lunch because I had some clients and some other things up at the school to do later that afternoon. And so instead of going out to get lunch, we decided, oh, we've got a whole fridge full of leftovers. So we said, yeah, we'll just pick some leftovers and heat them up and get them prepared, and we'll have lunch here at home. So as we rummage through the refrigerator, kind of looking, picking and choosing which leftovers we wanted to get and which ones we were going to heat up. By the way, you notice every time you decide to eat leftovers, it ends up turning into let's clean the fridge kind of thing. But that's neither here nor there. So here we are, we're going through and we're picking which leftovers we want to have. And as we conversate, the conversation begins to heat up. And I couldn't even tell you what we were arguing about. But before I knew it, we were here in a conversation, heating up leftovers and being responsible, to here, sitting down before we had said a prayer, with our food heated up across from each other, in a full-blown argument. And I'm thinking, where did I go wrong? What did I do here? But I was so mad. I was like, in that angry that you can't even eat. Have you ever been there? Like that anger that kind of deforms your face in such a way you can't even open your mouth properly to eat the food. And it's like if you try to eat, you feel even more ridiculous because your mouth is contorted in such a way. Maybe that's just me. But I was mad. And at that moment, I couldn't see grace for myself. I couldn't see grace for Leanne. And I couldn't see grace in all its complexity whatsoever. Was God's presence there? Absolutely. Was I recognizing God's presence? Oh, nope, I wasn't. Therefore, in my inability to recognize God's grace and his presence, in my inability to be in his grace, I therefore share this inability to offer grace and to hear what was going on and to empathize and to conversate, to share in this moment. I had very little grace in my heart at that time. And it's in those moments that it seems like it's either my way or it's the highway. It's either you're going to hear what I have to say or we're not going to talk. I'm sure many of you are thinking, oh man, our preacher does that too? Yeah, I do it too. And I didn't have any grace to share. Despite God's presence, I couldn't calm down enough to reflect on it and to subdue those feelings of anger, frustration, and disunity. And those long, deep prayers that you find time for. It's those moments where you find the opposite of what I felt. Whenever you can stand in God's grace and bask in it, instead of your own angers and frustration, instead of your own perspective, it's then that you can accept and project the grace that God has given you. And when we can stand in God's grace, well, guess what? It does something else for us. That second aspect to what grace is, and that is God's grace is also God's calling. How many of you have ever received a really cool gift? You know, that kind of gift that is really motivating in some way. It seems in maybe it's our materialism or whatever it may be, that the greater the gift, the greater the calling is to act on behalf of that gift. Somebody got you something really grand, and you're like, man, I got to get them something better. Or I've got to show them how much I appreciate this. Turn over in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, and I'll be reading a couple of verses in there. Because here Paul talks to the Galatians and he shares in what he sees to be the motivation in his calling. Because remember for a moment who the Apostle Paul was. Remember who he was prior to seeing Christ and all the things that he did against God's people. And then hear his words as he says them here. Galatians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16 says, "But even before I was born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace. Then it pleased him to reveal his son to me so that I would proclaim the good news about Jesus to the Gentiles." What would you be without God's grace? I often tell Leanne, I'm not sure who I would be without her. What kind of man I would be, what kind of person I would be. I wonder if my life and my behavior would be different. If the decisions that I make would be different. In many ways, she is God's grace in my life. God's calling in my life. But it doesn't stop there. Because God's grace and his calling, well, I realize that I also see it in Isabella. In his grace, he gave me her. And it creates a calling, a motivation. And so on with Matthew. And even with everyone here and other friends and family, I receive God's grace and therefore I am called to do more. These are all of the blessings in our lives are articles of God's grace. They are gifts to me in my faulty life. And every day, they call me to be more, to be who God made me to be. Just as Paul says, even before he was born, God made you to be someone. In every moment of grace, every faculty of grace that you receive and you recognize, is a calling for you to be that person. Every day we live is a day of grace. And it's a day that reminds us why we live. More specifically, why we live for him. What would your life be without grace? We know what Paul was without it. Before he recognized it, before he saw Jesus, we know what God's people became without it. They were both self-righteous, ungrateful crusaders in their own will. And then the Apostle Paul was blinded by God on his way to kill even more Christians. When Jesus, the very life and manifestation of grace was revealed to him. what greater calling than to see the man who died for your sins? And in him, we see that thing that you feel reverberating in your chest. In Jesus Christ, we see the power of God. And when you consider the significance of Jesus and his death on the cross, it should inspire, and it does inspire, which many people in here can attest to, so much more than even the greatest lightning display or most magnificent scene in nature. We see God's power in his Son. And so as we consider the calling, we must rely on that power. Because without God's power, we're not much, are we? I mean, maybe whenever I was 17 years old, I thought I was, but now in my old age, right? Got the gray hair going now. Realize that's not quite the case. Only you know what God has been calling you to do. If you're aware of that calling, it's likely that you've considered the how and the why. You've maybe prayed about it. Perhaps you've even planned on how to carry that out, what it'd look like. But you're still unsure whether it'll work, whether you're capable of it. You're still not sure if you put yourself out there and you heed that calling. You're still not sure if you might fail. There's only one way to accomplish that. Maybe you've doubted yourself and wondered why he would even ask you to do such a thing. I'm here to tell you, by the grace of God, you have the power and the skills to accomplish whatever it is that he's put in your heart. Each and every one of you. Whatever it is, God's grace is God's power. And Paul tells the Thessalonians this in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, he says, "So we keep on praying for you, asking our God to enable you to live a life worthy of his call. May he give you the power to accomplish all the good things your faith prompts you to do. Then the name of our Lord Jesus will be honored because of the way you live, and you will be honored along with him. This is all made possible because of the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. It is all made possible because of that grace." God's grace is more than just the freebie for signing up for your annual membership to Christians R Us. God's grace is in his presence. It's like that warmth you feel on a cold day. When you're outside and you're standing in the shade and all of a sudden the clouds open up and the sun shines down and his warmth washes over you. God's grace is in his calling. It's like that unbelievably thoughtful gift that you receive from a friend or a family member. And it reminds you of how much they love and care for you. It reminds you of how much they know you and how many experiences you've shared together. It's that gift that doesn't just make you want to get them one in return, but instead it makes you want to spend more time with them and reminds you exactly why you were friends in the first place. And finally, God's grace is power. It is just the motivation that you need. When you're tired and worn, it's kind of like that passing thought on a long work day when you wonder, why am I here? What am I doing? Why should I continue? It's that reminder of the people at home that offer you the motivation to continue on, not only through the work day, but for years and years to come. That motivation is the power. It is a blessing and responsibility. It is the powerful motivation that urges you to continue no matter how daunting the task. These are the complexities of grace. They are the complexities of grace that work together to save your soul and to save the souls of countless others. I wonder, do you know God's grace? Have you tapped into its full potential? Do you sit here today in God's grace, with God's calling in your heart, driven by the power that he provides through it? If not, and you need help, if you'd like to know that grace, come forward as we stand and sing.